Herzlich willkommen zum Modelleinsatz, der mathematische Podcast aus Karlsruhe mit Gudrun Täter und Sebastian Ritterbusch.
So, it's nice to have a conversation in my office again, and today it's quite crowded, almost like a big exam today, because I have here Nadia and Musa, who were here last year, and we were talking about Bayesian statistics and deep learning and interdisciplinary research, and I had the feeling that they liked what we made together. And so they asked to do this again, but today we have a new person here with us. So we are four persons, and I can say hello to Nicolas Bianco. And maybe it's a good start, because, you know, one has to start somewhere, for you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Just what kind of education do you have? Why do you work in the field? And what is your special interest field of research?
So first of all, hi to all the listeners, and it's very nice to be here and meeting you. I'm Nicolas, I'm from Italy, and I studied and now working in statistics since quite a long time. I did my bachelor, my master, and my PhD in statistics, and I really like this field. And now I joined Nadia's group since 2024, September 2024. Mm-hmm. And I found a very, very nice environment, which made me like even more what I'm doing day by day. In particular, I work on Bayesian statistics with applications in spatial-temporal statistics and problems with variable selection and change point detection. So quite different from Musa, for example.
So what was your course called? So what was your program for your bachelor and master's?
So quite a funny name, the first one for the bachelor. The name was, I have to translate from Italian.
You could state it in Italian and afterwards translate.
So it was statistics for business and economics, okay. Something like that. And then I didn't particularly like the business and economics part. So my master was in statistical science, in sciences, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm just laughing very silently, not to laugh out loud, because a lot of people would say when they want to study business and economics, they don't like the statistics part. And you say you didn't like the business and economics part, but you like the statistics part.
So actually, it was a bit funny, because the reason why I started it, the reason why I started statistics, was that I was undecided between economics and mathematics. And then I found statistics somehow in the middle, in the between of the two. And I started saying, okay, well, I will do the bachelor, and then I will try to go in the industry. Mm. And I said, oh, well, actually, I like studying statistics especially. So I decided to do also the master. And at the beginning of the master, I said, okay, well, I will do the master, and then I will move to industry. Well, now I'm here doing my postdoc.
Yeah, so not just that you did your PhD, but even a postdoc. Not after the bachelor, not after the master, not after the doctoral thesis. No.
Okay. Industry is still waiting for him.
Yes, I think they will be very happy in the end. And also academia will be very happy with people who are very eager to learn statistics. And in which towns did you take your bachelor, master, and your PhD?
In Padova.
All in Padova.
All in Padova, yes. But I'm from another city nearby, which is called Trieste, still in the northeast.
You say this as if nobody knows Trieste, but I think a lot of people will know Trieste.
Well, I have funny stories about people not knowing Trieste, actually. But
okay. Maybe, but they also have very famous technical universities there in Trieste.
I don't know if they are famous for technical universities. Mm. They are strong in physics. They have CISA, which is a quite big research center.
I was thinking about CISA.
Yeah. Mm. And they are also strong in naval engineering.
Near to the sea, makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so you jumped from Italy to Germany because you got the opportunity here at KIT, or were there steps in between?
Well, I didn't move from Italy to Germany for the food, for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah, sorry for that.
No, I was joking. I actually had an intermediate stop in Spain. Mm-hmm. I did 1 year of postdoc in Barcelona before moving to Germany.
For the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the food as well. And the reason why I moved to Germany was primarily driven by work. So I was really impressed about the research that Nadia was doing and her group was doing and is still doing, I would say. So this motivates me a lot to move to Germany.
Yeah. And since you didn't just run away after 2 weeks because nothing was eatable and the weather was horrible, you're still here, so there should be something okay as well.
Yeah. At the end, I discovered some good German food as well.
And you can also be ambassador for Italian food here.
Yes.
People can learn.
He did distribute his culinary knowledge across his colleagues. Yeah. It's snowing even, no?
Yeah. It was promised, yeah. It's like in April, even if it's still March on the calendar. So maybe, Musa, you can explain what are the typical things in your lab, mm-hmm. Which are so attractive to Nicola from your perspective, and then I will ask Nadia, so you can kind of...
The things that are attractive are multiple folds. I would mm-hmm. start with one, which is the topic, as you said. There is, I think, from what I understood, I'm no expert on Bayesian statistics, but I understood that there's not many labs that do this combination that we have at Klein Lab. And I think I joined the lab 1 month after Nicolas, and there I think he was also eager to learn a bit more about machine learning, deep learning, which is easily accessible since his colleagues are exactly working on that. So that, I think, is one nice aspect. The other aspect is also in the lab we have some sort of friendship atmosphere, which is very nice to work in. So you don't go to work thinking I'm going to work, but instead it's more of like everybody practicing the hobby they like and also with people they like. So I think these are two aspects. I would give Nadia the word here for the other aspects you think he might like.
Yes, and maybe even examples.
Okay, yeah, first of all, thanks also to Gudrun for having me again. Thanks Musa and Nico for the nice words about the lab. I think Musa has mentioned the two most important points already. So on the one hand, I'm also very enthusiastic about the topic, so this intersection, and in particular in Germany, I think our group is rather unique. And yeah, then I also agree that what makes also our work really pleasant is that we don't only like to work what we work on, but also that we... Yeah, I like to see each other and be in the same offices or on the same floor.
And cook together.
Exactly. Ah, that's true. I forgot
Sorry.
About that. Yes, we did eat a lot of Italian thanks to Nico. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would state openly my love for pecorino and cacio e pepe. That's a joke.
And we know what's a no-go on pizzas.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think also one aspect Nadia mentioned, which is the offices. So we have this setup currently where the offices are open to each other. So there is a door in between offices that is always open. And that is one very helpful way to start exchanging ideas, talking about things. I think we were recently working on a project together, all of us, and having this kind of open atmosphere makes it much easier to advance. No online meetings, no trying to see each perspective, but we know each other, we know what we work on, so it's easy to use the strength of each person to make the collaboration work much more efficiently.
So maybe that's a good moment to go to one example. So what was the topic you were working on together?
Nadia, would you like? Okay, so the topic is basically about using copulas in deep learning without going into too much details because it's still a work in progress. But we want to combine computer vision with the strength of statistics to do some, let's say, foundational stuff that is based on math in a sense, and not just black box algorithms that you throw at each solution and hope for the best, so to say. So this is a bit what we worked on, but we are still refining that, and I'm sure you will hear about it once we have it in the final stage.
And how did you use the computer, and which... So
computer vision, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the use case that we selected was a computer vision, in the sense that we select image classification as a use case.
Mm-hmm.
So the images that we are trying to classify objects in them could be autonomous driving, could be any other field. And for that, the background of, as I said, I don't want to spoil too much of the method, but the method that is... using the processing of the neural network on these images to come up with something that the neural network itself can use. So this transparent in-between step is based on copulas and statistics.
Mm.
I hope I gave a bit without giving too much.
So yeah. What was your part, Nicola, in that collaboration?
So a bit of the idea at the beginning, and then... the more statistical part. So actually, I'm not an expert on copulas. I wasn't. I'm still not, but I learned a bit. So I helped with that part. And I think also a bit maybe in the communication, because I started interacting with Musa about topics in between statistics and machine learning since he moved in the office with me. So... I think also this aspect helped quite a lot in the communication also with the others. It's always interesting, like exchanging ideas on what, in my opinion, he was doing not in a statistical rigorous way, I would say. And it was also nice to hear him explaining me what is expected instead from the computer vision community, and why something that I was requiring maybe was a bit too hardcore.
Yeah, I think there is a mismatch between what you expect, let's say, talking about papers, if you submit papers, what a reviewer from statistics expects than compared to a reviewer from computer vision, deep learning, anything, let's say, more also application-oriented. And this mismatch is hard to, solve, in the sense that you just need to accept it. So once you decide where do you want to go with this work you did, you have to adjust what your expectations are and how you write your paper to that target audience, right? And that's not always easy when you have this interdisciplinarity with reviewers that are very strict about what they expect and what they want.
Yes. Also, I would say, in my opinion about mathematics, I would say the people in the statistics institute here in the house are the ones which are the most strict and formal ones in their mathematical work, because that's kind of the core. Yeah, they go there and they really want to understand and be very, very explicit. What are the assumptions? What is a bit tricky? So where is the uncertainty? But in which sense? And then if someone is just trying to avoid to be very strict, they are like, you are not a mathematician at all. That's not science. That's just wishy-washy.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we have a lot of statisticians and even mathematicians in our team, because that saves me also the pain of having to put all my effort into like the small things that they would consider big, obviously, depending on your perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, and on the other hand, it can happen that they cannot find anything if they are as strict as they are with their things. Yes.
Sure, and the applications of deep learning are always very interesting, and that's why that gives them a bit of more. I'm sure in statistics you also have a lot of interesting applications.
Of course.
I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but with deep learning you have this aspect of, oh, it's so cool what we can do. Mm. And that bringing the two together, I think, combines the aspects that are most important in each field. Yeah.
Yeah. I would guess that you also have a lot of students which work on master thesis or as students under contract and bachelor thesis.
Mm-hmm.
How can you involve them in your research? So what do they have to know before, and what is maybe typically hard for them, what is typically easy for them?
Maybe I should not correct you, but indeed my impression is that we don't have too many students being interested.
You would have to like move.
Yeah, potentially, yes. I think there's different reasons for it. First is actually, it sounds weird, but we are located at the SCC, and many students, and I think also professors, they don't even know that we have or that we do research at the Scientific Computing Center. So in that sense, we are often out of the radar when students also screen, for instance, the websites of groups and what they are working on. But I think on the other hand, we are lucky that, so we are teaching mostly for the computer science students, but you have a few students that are really interested in doing statistics and that also attend our Bayesian statistics course and are also eager to be a bit more formal or understanding the math behind it. And on the other hand, they bring pretty good computational skills, so this can be a benefit, I would say, and so far, in particular with Musa, we have been able to attract a few very good students who are involved as students assistants, help Musa with simulations, coding, running experiments. But we have also had a couple of master theses that go more into the interdisciplinary direction. So where we have, for instance, applications of image segmentation. What I would like to see a bit more is that maybe also students from mathematics who are interested in Bayesian statistics come to our lectures and maybe are willing to take over also a few more statistical topics that we have to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sometimes I'm asked by students who would like to do something more applied, whatever that means, but they will probably not think about statistics as being that applied. And then I have to tell them, of course, that's applied and things like that. And sometimes I can convince them.
Yeah, I think a lot about it is a misconception.
Yeah,
so when
absolutely.
I joined the lab, I thought statistics is just like abstract math or something like that. But once you understand that they actually even have real world problems that you really need statistics to solve, or like, for example, the collapse of the economical system in 2008 was triggered by copulas and so on. That you understand that if you would actually put more attention on the topics that are used also in sports predictions and so on, you could attract more students who are eager. Because, I mean, you're eager to work on something when you can relate to it, I guess, more than when it's just an abstract concept. So if you can tell them you can use these methods for this particular case and they can say, oh, interesting case, which I'm sure a lot of the statisticians started with statistics for that, you will get more students. Because the moment they hear we're working on deep learning, they start deviating in that direction because it's what is out there as the hype, so to say.
Mm. Yeah. I think that the way you call the things plays a role. Like, for example, if I start calling myself data scientist instead of statistician, I'm sure people would be probably more interested in what I do.
Yeah.
Because there's this maybe misconception that statistics is hypothesis testing and that's it. While this is not true, nowadays it grew quite a lot in many directions. So also the name plays a role in that for sure.
Absolutely, yes. I would agree with that. And also we are, as mathematicians, we are always fighting that people don't forget that mathematics is kind of the core in everything, which is machine learning. Even if this grew out and grew kind of the larger part, all the computer science now is kind of eats everything, all the resources, things like that. But a lot of things which are really foundational are mathematical.
I would also go back to the point with the students at Kaite. I would like to say that there is, compared to, for example, when I was doing my PhD in a company, it was very hard to get good students.
Yeah.
Whereas at KIT, it's more accessible. As Nadia said, you put yourself out there, you basically get on their radar. And if you're working on interesting thing, which I would guess everybody thinks they are doing so, you will get very good students. I mean, the university is excellent in that regard. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. So that's something which I also like about the KIT, that we attract a lot of students. You know, they are not only good in the sense that they are well educated, but they are eager to learn.
Exactly.
and they are interested in the topics. Otherwise, they would have gone somewhere else to study.
100%. Yeah, there are easier places to study.
Yeah. So what would be hopes, also except that you would like to have even more eager students for, let's say, the next 2 to 3 years you're working together? What are topics you would like to tackle? And this could be like what you really expect to tackle or what you would dream to tackle.
I think with our first joint work, we laid the stones for future work that is, let's say, easier to start. So now with this work that we're doing, we want to understand first how is the reception from the community, mm-hmm. from both of the communities. Now, once we understand what is exactly that they would perceive as valuable and how it could be brought together, then I think it will be much easier for us to work in that direction, especially on how to present the work that we do together.
Yeah.
But I am very sure that from this work we're doing, a lot of interesting works will follow. Yes.
I think maybe let me state a very ambitious goal for the future, not near future, maybe it could take a lot of time, but I think this lab, this environment can play an important role, is trying to bring a bit more together different communities, which in this case are, for example, statistics and machine learning, but we can also think about economics or natural sciences, mathematics also, mm-hmm. that we don't talk to each other that much as we could. So I would say that a very ambitious goal from my point of view, and I think also I can talk in name of the lab in general, is to play a role in uniform different communities.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good point to stop this conversation for today, because that's like an amen, what we would all like to see happen. Thank you for taking the time to have this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.